unfair advantage. That is the title of my message this morning. I love the Old Testament. I love war movies. I love reading about World War I and World War II. It's something that I enjoy. I know it's boring for people, but that's something I quite enjoy. And even in the Old Testament, I love reading about the wars that took place, where it happened, and who won, and why did they win this battle. There's examples of Exodus 17, 8 to 15, where the Israelites won the battle against the Amalekites when Moses had his arms raised, remember? And as soon as it went down, they started losing. And he had them helping him keep his hands up, and he won the battle. In Numbers 21, verse 1 to 3, and that's behind me, they defeat the Canaanites. The Lord listened to Israel, requested the Canaanites were defeated, and Israel completely destroyed them and their cities. Joshua 6, we know the encounter of the wall of Jericho. Jesus gives them a bit of a funny strategy. Go around this wall, and on the seventh day, you make a massive noise, and it comes down. Sometimes when God asks us to do certain things, it makes absolutely no sense. That's why I love to read about this. Judges 1 verse 1, where they won the battle against the Canaanites and the parasites. I don't know if it's mosquitoes or what that is, but yes. Flies and mosquitoes. There's two that I just want to stand still. The one being David, and everybody is going to go, oh, David again. It's my name. I have to listen to this guy, okay? I love him. I love the way that he does things and the fact that Jesus just calls him a friend of mine. I love that. But in 1 Samuel 17, and you don't have to turn there right now, a very familiar piece of passage that we all know very well. It's the encounter between David and Goliath. Okay. Like I say, it's a passage we all know. David is walking, he's taking supplies to his brothers. As they're busy, while they say they're fighting the battle, but they're not, because the Israelites are standing on the one side and the Philistines are on that side. And actually, the Israelites are just scared out of their boots to go anywhere. Because the Philistines has got this giant called Goliath. And he is standing on the other side, chanting things, shouting at them, and just telling them, you know what, just bring me your best. Let me sort him out for you. If not, you guys can come and take us over. But I read there in 1 Samuel that these men were afraid. 1 Samuel 17:10. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, when Saul and all the Israel heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They had fear. David was walking through this camp listening to this giant. This is going on for 40 days. If you notice, everything takes 40 days. It's amazing. 40 days. This is happening for 40 days that Goliath is chanting and going on. And David is bringing supplies again to his brothers and he's listening to this. And David just stops there and he says, you know what? I can't handle this anymore. I will do this. I will take him on. People get to hear about it and his oldest brother hears this as well. And he says, no. What on earth are you doing here? You know, stop it now. He actually looks down at him and says, hey, skaapwagterkie, back to your sheep. That's what he said. Go back to your sheep. Nice brother, eh? What a lucky big brother to have like that. But David got in front of Saul. Saul got to hear about this and he stands in front of him and says, you know what, I'll go. And Saul is like almost, you know, I don't know what to make of this because all the other guys did not put their hands up. You know that awkward silence? Everybody goes, pick him. I'm not going. Pick him, not me. David says, I'll go. He stands in front of Saul and he says the following. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." We know the how the story goes on. David take what he has. I love how the scripture, I don't know if you remember when I was small, it says that David didn't put that armor on because he was too small. He didn't put Saul's armor on because he was too small. It never says that. You know that. The scripture doesn't say that. The scripture actually says there that he wasn't comfortable in it. I don't think David was this little Mickey Mouse guy that we think he was. He just says, "You know what? I haven't practiced with this. I'm not going to do that." And he takes his keti, not really a keti, slingshot, and his staff, and he walks up, and Goliath sees this, and Goliath goes red in the face. His words is, "Do you think I'm a dog that you come with me with a stick? What are you going to do?" See, David was young, his youth, full of vibrance, full of energy, coming against this warrior. The Bible, in the first verses of 1 Samuel 7, it's talking about Goliath being the ultimate warrior. Here comes this young man with a staff and a keti in front of him and says the following, and listen very carefully. You come to me with a sword and with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 1 Samuel 17:47, make a note of this. And that all the assembly may know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. You know what? When David was faced with a lion, when David was faced with bears, he did not worry about it. Why not? Because the battle is the Lord's. His job is looking after the sheep. When anything else comes, it's not his worry. Why? Because the battle is his. It's not my battle. Through this, David realized very quickly in his life, he has an unfair advantage. When he went and he faced Goliath, he realized something very quickly in his life. Yes, he's young. Yes, he doesn't know everything. Yes, he doesn't have all the equipment. But he's got one thing, an unfair advantage. Why? The battle is the Lord's. David knew, "I'll stay back. God, you do what you do." Friends, and I know there's a lot of us walking in fear. I've spoke to so many people lately that just want to flee this country. That just want to go to Australia. Heaven alone knows why Australia. Everybody wants to go to Australia. That poor land is going to speak Afrikaans one of these days. Everybody just want to go there. But you know what? I'm speaking to young people, and they're looking at the economy. They're looking at work, and they're starting to become this fear in our lives. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. Friends, you know what? We need to stop and stand back and say, the battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. When God has placed you in this place called Edenvale, you don't have to fight these battles. You stand back, because the battle is his. You and I just need to be at the right place at the right time, to be sensitive and say, "Lord, where is it that you want me?" And if I'm there, I'm not going to do this. I'm standing back, because this battle is yours. The next guy that I really enjoy reading about is Gideon. He's just minding his own business. He's just carrying on. Next minute, an angel appears. And the Lord said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Gideon immediately, if you read about it, he like, what is going on here? Because, Lord, let me just tell you something quickly. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And in Manasseh, in my family, I'm the weakest in my family. I'm that small little oak that was wrestling at that sumo wrestler now. I'm that guy. And here you come to me and you say, mighty valor, man of God. No. Impossible. Again, a lot of us in the place where God wants to use us, but we make excuses and we're like, that's not me. Lord, that's not me. He carries on. Judges 6:16. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you will strike the Midianites as one. Friends, again, unfair advantage. Why? God is with him. I love when he goes out, he's picking an army for him. He's got down to 22,000. So the Lord says to him, no, cut it down. Friends, I don't know about you, but more is more for me. Less is not more. My maths is not good. But it gets to a point where he says, no, cut it down. 10,000. God says to him, no, it's too many. I would start worrying at this moment. Because I know the enemy I'm going against, and God says, no, 10,000 is still too many. He gets to the point where he's got 300. A little bit less than what we are right now. To go take on a whole army. 300. Guys, I know all of you are full of faith. I'll be the first man to put on my Nike tackies and go the opposite direction. 300 against all those. No, thank you. Like I said, I'm not a mathematician, but this does not make sense at all. Gideon, remember what God said. But I will be with you. Unfair advantage. God gives him a strategy. As they stand around, they broke vases, they threw it on the floor, they start blowing a trumpet, they have a torch in their hands. As these Midianites wake up, they see this, they got a great fear and they started stabbing each other. They started killing each other, they got up and they ran away. And that day, they defeated them by not even lifting a sword up and fighting a fight. Why? Unfair advantage. Yes, DJ has amazing stories. I love it. Great stuff. What's this got to do with me today? How on earth is this now relevant for me and you? I don't know if you've seen, there's a couple of Christmas trees in the shop lately. Yeah, have you seen it? It's from June or July. It was up already. It's crazy. You walk into the shops and it's like, already, oh, I'm over this. But friends, such an amazing season that we're going in, hey. It's such an amazing time. And I'm not talking about the snow and the eggnog. We brine, we swim, finished, la. There's no snow here. That old, yes, I could. I tell you what, if I listen to some of these carols, not the Christian ones. Have yourself a merry little. That guy sounds like he wants to shoot himself. But he's having a merry Christmas. I don't know if he had too much eggnog with something else in, or what the problem is, but that does not sound very merry to me. But you know what? Again, you and I have an unfair advantage going into this season. Why? Because we got the reason for the season, eh? I love this. I want you to open your Bible if you've got it. It will be behind me, Isaiah 9:6. And I will revisit this passage later in December. But this for me is an eye-opener. This for me is why it's all about. This for me is when I can walk into a shop, when I can walk around, and I have this excitement because it says the following. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is why I'm excited. That is why I am full of excitement knowing that I'm going into the season, why I'm celebrating the Prince of Peace that came to this earth. He just didn't do that alone. As he's walking on the earth, there's one point where he stops and he turns to his disciples and he starts sharing with them. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John 16:7. John 16, verse 7. Jesus is ministering on this earth. He's walking. He's fulfilling his purpose. He's pointing people to the kingdom. He's saving people. He's healing people. And he is getting to this point where he is starting to speak to his disciples. And he says to them the following. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare all the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is telling his disciples, it is good that I'm going. Why? I cannot be everywhere at the same time. But listen to me. I am sending you the Helper. I'm sending you the Parakletos. I'm sending you the Counselor, the Advocate, the Comforter. And he will live inside of you. He will be with you 24/7. Every step that you take, every battle that you fight, every decision that you make, he will be with you. It all started with the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin and we surrendering to him and him becoming Lord and Savior of our lives. We get placed in this amazing family and sent out with a mission. You and I are not alone. And this is the one thing I'm repeating. It's like the kids' church at the back. We always repeat and repeat and repeat. Friends, you have an unfair advantage. You have an unfair advantage. And I'm saying it in the nicest way. You know what, sir, ma'am, that executive decision that you have to make at work, you have an unfair advantage. Young person that needs to make decisions of his future, the school they need to go to, the field they need to go study into, you have an unfair advantage. You're wondering about your spouse. Must I marry this one? Must I marry that one? You have an unfair advantage. Praying to get healed, you have an unfair advantage. Why? You have God's Spirit living inside of you. Inside of you. I love what the scripture says, and I'm going back to John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I underlined it in my Bible. He will guide you. Friends, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He's the one that will take you and say, no, no, stop. Go left. Don't go right. How many times have you and I drive on the road even, and you just hear that voice saying, don't go this way. If you listen on the radio, there was this massive accident. There's traffic for hours. God just said, go this way. In our normal life and in our decisions of making big plans of our lives. Friends, how can we dare do it without the guidance of the Holy Spirit? How will you and I ever make plans and say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Please bless it. That's not an unfair advantage. That's called the Greek word stupid. He knows the best because he will guide you into all truths. He will guide you into all truths. He will take you and say, this is the direction that I need you to go. Listen to me. That's an unfair advantage that you and I have. And he goes further. And he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Friends, every single one of us sitting here will have a prophetic edge in our lives. If you and I have that unfair advantage of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because he will tell you about the things that are still to come in your life. You'll have an unfair advantage of things that's going to happen if you are listening what the Spirit is telling you now. Unfair advantage. And then he finishes off, he says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. He will take what is the Father's and he will declare it to you. We can walk into such a deep relationship with God. We can walk in such an awesome revelation relationship with God if you and I take this unfair advantage and make it part of our lives, because he will declare what is his and he will make it ours. while we're here on earth. I want to read you a couple of things and just listen carefully, quickly. And then you tell me if we have an unfair advantage. You tell me afterwards. The divine works of the Holy Spirit. He creates, he heals, gives life, casts out devils, convicts of sin, redeems, resurrects, inspires scripture, distributes gifts, forms the body of Christ, endues with power, changes lives, directs the gospel's work, frees from sin, bears witness, searches the deep things of God, brings things to remembrance. He teaches and he guides us into all truth. Yes, some more. Reveals secrets, dwells in the believers, gives victory over sin, guides in daily problems, adopts into God's family, helps in prayer, washes from sin, sanctifies, justifies, imparts and causes supernatural power to manifest through believers, imparts love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control through believers, seals men to divine ownership, gives access to God, imparts revelation, fills believers, causes obedience to the truth, speaks of Christ and glorifies him, confirms the gospel, and carries on the work of God in the world. I don't know about you. I think we have an unfair advantage. If that is what he does through my life, me walking every day in my work, my family, my friends, I have an unfair advantage. The Holy Spirit that's living inside of me. John 4:4, all of a sudden becomes alive when it says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All of a sudden, when I read that scripture, after all those things that said, something is just going on in my head, realizing far greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Three things, quickly, that will help us to walk in this unfair advantage. Number one, listen to the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. Friends, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you every single day. The Bible says we hear and we know his voice. He wants to speak to you every single day. Not once a week, not on a Sunday morning, not at home group, not at Bible college, not at our training sessions. He wants to speak to you every single day. When you're in the car, when you're driving, friends, you can put Anele off in the morning. Okay, she's talking nonsense anyway. Just switch it off a bit. Darren Scott on Mix FM, switch him off a bit. Jeremy Mansfield on Hot FM, switch him off a bit. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? I know there's some of you that sit in traffic for 2 hours to go to work. That's 2 hours the Holy Spirit can impart into your lives. I'm not saying the radio's from the devil. Please, no, I don't say that. Okay. Friends, but he wants to speak to you every single day. And I love how we make excuses. I don't have time. You do have time. You have time to eat. You have time to sleep. You have time to go to gym. You have time to get dressed. You have all this time. You know what? He made more than enough time to die on that cross for me. You and I can make time for him. We can make time for him. Set things aside and make time. That's my second one. Obey and get in line. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Obey and get in line with the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to you, friends, obey. Listen to what he's saying and get in line. There's many times that we realize that I'm actually going in this direction and he's saying, do this. Friends, obey and get in line. Sometimes we need a good snort clap. That just helps us to get back. Say, Lord, I was out of line. I want to come back. Friends, you don't have to go wash yourself in the Jordan River. Okay, you don't have to pay a plane ticket to go get baptized again there. You don't have to do that. It's one simple thing. Lord, I messed up. I missed the mark. I'm getting back in line. Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me, show me the way. And then the third one, go and do it. Philippians 4:9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. 1 James James 1:22, go and be doers of this word. When you and I hear what the Spirit is telling us, friends, and this is where a lot of us are stopping this whole chain, this whole movement, this whole thing. This is where you and I fall short plenty times. We hear, we get in line, and we stop right there. It's time that you and I do what He's telling us to do. It's time that you and I start being doers of this word. Unfortunately, and I'm finishing off with this, we use the Holy Spirit as a spare wheel in our lives. Hey, you hit that puncture. I know there's actually some people that rather phone the AA before they change their own wheels. I've done that a couple of times. I hate changing tires. I hate that because you get all dirty. I don't like getting my hands dirty. It's not my favorite thing. Okay, I've said it before. I went to do all these studies at Rao, and the first thing they said to me is, don't work with your hands. I'm like, gee, thanks a lot. That's why I've got very good friends. When anything needs to be fixed in my house, I just phone them. Because, friend, I don't like getting my hands dirty. I get it dirty in other ways, not like that. But a lot of us use the Holy Spirit as that spare wheel only when we need Him. Or the other one is we love to use Him as a genie in the lamp. And we rub that lamp and we're praying for that genie to come and help 90% of the time of the problems that we caused ourselves anyway. I really feel the Holy Spirit wants, you know what, friends? He wants that love relationship with you every single day of your life. Not to be a genie that you pull out and you rub and you ask Him a question. Give me my 3 wishes, please. Bless us, help us, heal us. When you walk with Him every single day and you obey and you start doing, that's when that unfair advantage becomes a reality in your life. That's when you know He is fighting this battle. And that's when you know that you are standing back and He takes charge. The image I had, and I'm landing with this, is this massive power boat. And Dean is not here, so I don't know. What is a strong engine? A Yamaha. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, this speed boat. And he is going full throttle, and there's a guy behind skiing. Who's ever done the skiing thing? I've tried. It's not nice. Okay. They say water is soft. Rubbish. It's concrete. Never mind. And I'm holding on. Friends, as this boat is going, the guy that's skiing, have you seen that? The guy that knows what he's doing. Yes, that looks awesome, mate. He is having the time of his life as he's just gliding on that water. And the speedboat is doing all the work. That boat is going full throttle. That boat is making way. He's doing his thing. And he's just holding on. Friends, that speedboat is the Holy Spirit. Going in front, doing His work. And we are holding on and we are going with Him, having the time of our lives. The second picture I had is the opposite way of the skier standing in front trying to pull the speedboat. Not so much fun. Can I tell you what? A lot of us are like that. Where you and I are saying, I'm living my life. Holy Spirit, I'm taking you with me. I'm dragging you with me. And every now and again, I'll just ask you to help me. That's not the way it works, friends. For me and you to have this unfair advantage, and I'm calling it just that, but you understand what I'm saying, is when He is in front, He is leading, and you and I are following in this love relationship with Him. And we're saying, I obey, come in line, and I do exactly what you're telling me to do. Close your eyes with me.